Hey, folks, thanks for tuning in to the CBSSports.com College Football Podcast. I am Chip Patterson, and we are going to keep on rolling with our conference preview series. And we're headed out west to the left coast and the Pac-12. And joining me on the line is Brian Fisher. Brian, how's everything going out there? A lot of excitement around the Pac-12 network launch last week. You were there, actually, for the launch. What's sort of the vibe around the conference?
It's positive. It's encouraging. I think everybody sees that they have a couple teams in the top five, obviously, with USC, Oregon, Stanford's right there in the top 25. A lot of optimism with the network coming in and the exposure that that will bring. And it's just a different era for the Pac-12. I think last year definitely started it, being the first time with 12 teams and Colorado and Utah coming in. But this year seems to be taking off to an even bigger level. I think that to me is the one kind of takeaway that I've got is this is a conference that's positioning itself not just to compete with the SEC in terms of being a football conference, but they really want to be even bigger than that. And talking with Larry Scott, he wants to they actually just announced it on Monday morning that they would have this exchange with Chinese universities. It's just a very forward-thinking conference, and I think there's a high sense of optimism and a sense that they can get it done this year.
Now, for listeners who haven't necessarily been able to follow a lot of the details, you might see that the Pac-12 network is available or soon to be available on your menu. But it's not just that one network. It's also seven networks. And to me, the one thing that I think they are doing very well is they seem to be focused on the fans, because they're really going with each of the seven networks and using the different regional Fox Sports channels. They want to make it for the Bay Area, they want to make sure that they've got Stanford covered really well. Of course, Southern California, you got UCLA, USC, Oregon State up north. And could you sort of explain the way the seven networks are working together and the digital networks? Because I think that a lot of our listeners might not know exactly how expansive this launch has been.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a different this is completely different from what the Big Ten has done, what the Mountain did, what the SEC is likely to do down the road with their Project X. But this is it does serve the fan, and this is the national network itself, very similar to what the Big Ten network. It's likely that's the only thing you're going to be able to see on DirecTV and Verizon Fios and all of those cable systems when they get it on there. But the regional networks, the Pac-12 Bay Area, Pac-12 Washington, Pac-12 Mountain, Pac-12 Southern California, those are really designed to dial into what the USC-UCLA fan is looking for. Obviously, they're going to have a ton of events to where you can watch volleyball on TV, where you can watch soccer on TV. And obviously out here, out west, they keep saying they're the Conference of Champions, and they can back it up with the numbers. I mean, they like the Olympic sports out here. There's great weather, great athletes, and they do very well in all of those. And so that's what those regional networks are really trying to kind of bring to the audience, and so far it looks great. They're going to be rolling an iPad app out in the next couple weeks. Eventually they'll be on iPhones and Androids, and it's really they've come to understand more than anybody that they have content, and content is king. And no matter which way you consume it, on a TV, on a tablet, on a phone, on a giant projector screen, content is content. And they want to make it optimized to where you can get it anywhere, anytime, any way you want it. And I think they're so far ahead of the game. I think they're ahead of where Fox Sports is. I think they're ahead of where we are at CBS Sports. I really think that what they are doing is huge in the entire media industry. I just looking at what they did at the launch last week and what their plans are going forward, it's really going to be interesting, because they're talking with companies like Apple and Google, and they're getting in bed with them, basically. I mean, they're right up the road from them. They're talking with them. How do we make our content better? How do we make it more accessible? They've really come to understand what the game is about, and they're 5 years ahead of just about everybody else in terms of where they are right now. People could catch up, But you know, I think it's going to be difficult as the Pac-12 kind of pulls further and further away. You know, it's going to be interesting to see, because they're going to be able to have a guy go into, you know, one of their coaches go into, say, New Jersey and say, "Hey, I'm recruiting your kid, but you know, we're on TV 50 times a year, you know, versus every other school in the country is only on 5, you right. know, and that's going to play into some factors for some kids for sure. And it's going to make the conference definitely more accessible. It's a lot of excitement around the league. And I think it's more, really more interest in the Pac-12 than I've ever seen, certainly for the last couple of years. And maybe since, you know, USC was winning titles, the national eye has started to look west more often, you know, than ever before.
Now let's go ahead and start right there with USC. What Brian and I are going to do is we're going to break down all 12 teams in the Pac-12, and we're going to just sort of discuss them on the contendometer from 1 to 10, you know, what is their chance to be able to contend within their own division. So we're going to start first in the Pac-12 South, then we'll do the North, then I'll get Brian's Pac-12 title game pick, and, you know, discuss what sort of long shot national title options there might be there. But starting right there with a national title favorite in many people's eyes, with USC, Southern California, are you putting them right there to 10 on the contendometer, or what do you think could potentially hurt them and keep them from contending for a Pac-12 title?
Well, I think everybody obviously sees the depth as the biggest issue that USC has. I think they answered their questions at running back by getting Silas Red from Penn State, and that's a tremendous help. He looked pretty good. I was actually just out of practice yesterday and was able to see them up close and personal and see where they were good, where they were weak. I think the interior of the defensive line, and everybody kind of gives this blanket statement because of injuries, especially right now, that they're going to be a little weak on the defensive line. It's not going to be the old time USC defensive line, I don't think, that had those you know, multi-round draft, you know, first round draft picks, you know, all up and down it. But they're going to be pretty solid. You know, I think at defensive tackle they're going to be really good. George Uko is a guy that I know Ed Orgeron has been talking up a lot. He's very high on him this year to really break out and be a guy that can develop into a highly regarded draft pick. You know, Antoine Woods, you know, some other guys, they can get a rotation going, I think, at tackle. At end, they just need some bodies. And maybe it's just a case of them getting healthy a couple weeks before the season. But, you know, I think they're cautiously optimistic that they're going to be fine at that spot. And then the back seven, I mean, you know, people talk about this offense, but, you know, I think people overlook this back seven and what they have. They're actually very deep in the secondary. You know, at safety, I think they're just loaded. I would be curious to see if anybody has the depth that they have at safety. Corner still looking through some issues and seeing who can kind of play that number two guy. But you know, I think they can go to a dime package and a nickel package very easily. They got enough guys that will eventually get the seasoning to where they'll be fine. And you know, I think they're going to force more turnovers this year. Teams are going to have to they're going to press them. I think with what the weapons on offense that they have. Robert Woods, Marquise Lee, you got guys like George Farmer and Nelson Aguilar. You know, the tight ends are great. You have the two great running backs and Matt Barkley, of course. You know, teams are going to be pressed to score points, and I think this is going to be a very opportunistic defense. They didn't get a lot of interceptions last year. They did force some turnovers here and there, and especially fumbles, but they didn't get a lot of interceptions. I bet that changes this year. I think this is going to be a much more ball-hawking defense than we've seen from the past couple years out of USC, and really, you know, it's going to be tough. I think they're going to have some issues with the Stanford. Oregon's obviously going to be very tough. Utah, but with that, such a strong offense, where I don't think there's anybody in the country that has corners that can handle this USC offense. You know, the defense is actually going to be pretty good and going to surprise a lot of people. I think you know, you look at what teams contend for a national title, they're definitely a 10 because they can win a game on offense, and I think they can actually win a game on defense.
Yeah, no, I'm right there with you. My sort of counter to people that want to start off talking about, and there is absolutely lots of concerns, particularly on the defensive line when it comes to depth, but they're, you know, with them being so strong in the back seven, and like you said, with as as explosive as the offense can be, by the second or third quarter in a lot of games, they're going to be forcing the opposition to pass, forcing the opposition to take their chances. And then if they are, you know, that sort of ball-hawking defense that you just mentioned, then they're going to force a lot of people into mistakes. You think about a lot of the offenses around the Pac-12, it's going to be high-volume passing numbers, and that is the one, like, strength of that USC defense. So, I mean, I'm right there with you. They've obviously got a very, very tough matchup against Oregon, but on the contendometer, I'd put them at a 9 or a 10. Moving on to Utah, what's obviously a big drop down from USC, at least in my eyes, but they still could cause a lot of trouble. Where would you put them on a 1 to 10 contendometer in the Pac-12 South?
I think they're right there behind USC. And that big Thursday night game where USC comes into Salt Lake City, Kyle Whittingham has talked it up and said that this is might be the biggest game in Utah history. And I think they're the one team that can give USC enough of a challenge. I think you have Starlu Tulle inside at defensive tackle. He's a top 10 pick. He's a load to handle. It's going to be great to see him going against Khalid Holmes at center. And those two first round, possibly offensive and defensive linemen going against each other. They've always been solid. They've always had a good scheme. They've always had to replace guys, but they've always found some under the radar recruits that they've developed. I think that's going to be the case again this year. I think injuries and depth is not quite there to maybe make a deep run, but if there's any team that I think in the South Division in particular that could pull an upset of USC, I think it's Utah, and I really think they're the only ones, and it's only if they can get their quarterback. If Jordan Wynn is healthy, and I know his shoulder was acting up, he sat out a couple days of practice very recently. That's the key question. And they got a great running back in John White the IV, solid offensive line with some big guys up front, some surprising playmakers, I think, on the outside. But if the quarterback is not healthy and they have to go through what they did last year, especially at the end of the season, they're going to be in trouble. If not, if they're fully healthy, no doubt about it, I think they can play USC pretty closely.
What about UCLA? You put them as third in your CBSSports.com Pac-12 preview. No love for Arizona or Arizona State. You think that Mora, of all those first-year coaches in the division, comes out on top?
Yeah, I think UCLA is actually primed for a pretty good year. They actually have a better win-loss record than Utah if you look at it at the end of the year, if they can get consistency. They named Brett Hundley the starter at quarterback who probably should have started last year. And Jim Morris should probably think Rick Neuheisel, send him a card at the Pac-12 Network and say thanks for redshirting him. He's a guy that if he can stay healthy, and that's always been the issue with the UCLA quarterback spot for the last 5-6 years, if he can stay upright, he's got some weapons. He's got some speedy guys on the outside at wide receiver, great tight end in Foria. I mean, there are some pieces there. They have some great running backs. Jonathan Franklin, very solid. The offensive line remains a question mark. I think they can be good enough on defense, especially. I think the defensive line will take another step. Jim Moore is a defensive guy. He should be upgrading their scheme and what they do week to week against these Pac-12 teams by a lot. And I think that was the one thing that I heard from people and looking it on film. Defensively, they didn't throw a lot at you, and I think they will do that this year with Mora. They're going to mix it up. I think long term, I'm not sure how that program is going to go, but for the near term, for this year, I think they can have a really good year, and I think they're going to be right there in the South. Arizona State, I think just the new coaches coming in, new systems, too much to adjust to. Both are breaking in new quarterbacks. I think both defenses have a lot to learn. Arizona State's probably going to be a little better on defense than Arizona. But, some young teams with not a lot of experience. They lost a lot of key guys from last year. Adding in the new coaching staff, you just don't know how it's going to look. But I think they'll take their lumps. But this is the Pac-12. Everything seems to be crazy, and every once in a while, I wouldn't be shocked if Richard Rodd pulls up a big upset here or there, or the same with Todd Graham, just because of what they can do offensively and those places to play down there. I think they'll surprise, I think, by how competitive they are. But win-loss record, I don't think they're going to be there this year.
You and I talked about one of the things that will benefit a lot of the Pac-12 coverage, particularly nationally, is when, you know, after everyone's getting done, we either going to a game or watching their games that were at noon, 3:30, even as the 8 o'clock game is winding down, there will be all of these, you know, very dangerous and, like you said, unproven teams. Teams like your Washington States, your Arizona States, that have the ability to maybe, you know, play spoiler to one of the heavyweights. And those will be these games that are coming on later for the East Coast, Central, and Mountain time zones. And the college football fans will basically get a look into this wild. This is a good time. It seems to be the right time for the Pac-12 to be put on national display from an interest standpoint.
Absolutely. I think, and I was talking a little bit with Spencer Hall from SB Nation when he was out in San Francisco. The thing that the Pac-12 network and that exposure that they're going to get from that is going to be key when, like you said, when Mike Leach and Rich Rod are putting up 45 points and going back and forth and it's kind of late at night on the East Coast. It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun in this league. And I think it's going to be a mess for the defensive coordinators for sure when you got Steve Sarkisian and you also have change of pace type offenses. I mean, Stanford's a really good offense. They like to run the ball. They don't like to throw it as much as the other teams in the conference. So it's a little bit different when you have that kind of road grinding type team and then you got to turn around and play Oregon. So it's just a fun league overall. And I can't wait. I think for the next couple of years, it's exciting to watch Pac-12 football.
What's all right? So we've got Rich Rodriguez coming in, Todd Graham at Arizona State. One interesting thing, and I'm actually posing this one. I still need to do my research on this. He's bringing in Jeff Castile. Guessing Jeff Castile. He was Rich Rodriguez's defensive coordinator at West Virginia. I'm guessing he's bringing that 3-3-5. And if so, how does Arizona's defense, the personnel, match up for that scheme?
You know, I think with Matt Scott, he's got a quarterback as a senior that can adjust. He's a mobile guy. I think he fits it all right for right now. I'm curious. I'm not sure about the offensive line situation. I'm not sure going forward in terms of as a complete team. You know, I think there's just so many question marks at so many positions. You just don't know. And we've seen it in the past. It's not necessarily year one for Rich Rod where the turnaround started. It's year two. It's year three. You saw that at West Virginia. You started to see it at Michigan kind of as he started to right the ship. I think there's going to be a little of a bit of an adjustment. I think on the offensive line, they're used to playing, having their quarterback in the shotgun. I think defensively, it's going to be quite an adjustment to Jeff Castile's 3-3-5. I think that, to me, where you have to get that personnel to where the right linebackers are in there, where the right defensive linemen, where the right defensive backs are in there. And I'm not sure if they quite have those guys yet. There is some talent on that team. Don't get me wrong. I just think it's going to be a little bit of growing pains as he adjusts this year. And next year, year after that, I think they'll be just fine.
What about Arizona State? Will Todd Graham even make it to year three before bouncing out to a new dream job?
it's funny because I think, and I was talking with someone the other day, I actually think he'll be all right there. He's done fairly well in terms of getting over that hump about being, I guess addressing the issue of him leaving Pitt. He's been very open and honest. He's definitely tried to put a little spin on it. But when you look at what his record and what he's done, he has, turned some teams around. I mean, it's not been a complete transformation and it hasn't been a huge jump. But in terms of fundamentals and coaching guys up, I think he'll do a solid enough job to win some games there. Now, are they going to be challenging for the Pac-12 South next year? I don't think so. I think it's going to take a while before they can get to that stage. But they've got some facilities work that they've been doing. I think he's got a solid coaching staff that, and some of them know the area out on the West Coast. So it's going to be interesting. I think he'll do better than a lot of people think, even though that might not be just fantastic.
So not high on the contendometer, but would you say that the long range, as far as looking at what the program has, looking at where it's going, do you think that the ceiling is higher for Arizona State right now than for Arizona?
No, I would still put Arizona a little bit ahead of Arizona State. They got a brand new football facility. Greg Byrne is a great AD. Tucson's a nice place. They got a basketball program that's humming, and that helps in football, just like a good football program helps in basketball. I think it's a Rich Rod. He's a folksy guy. He relates well to recruits. He's got a solid recruiting class already. I think they're in the top 20 by just about every service if you look at, and he's getting some guys to come in there and play, and so. I'm really high on what Rich Rod does. I think he's a great coach. He proved that at West Virginia. I think if you saw what Michigan did last year and how highly they're ranked this year, you can see that he got them on the right path, even if it didn't really work out at Michigan. He's got his defensive coordinator there. I think that's the biggest thing. He's got Jeff Castile there. He's worked with him for years and years and years. He's seen that defense in action, and he knows how to recruit guys. And that's probably going to be the biggest difference between coming into Michigan and coming into Arizona. And I really think that what they're building down there is a possible, a possible contending team down the road, just based on what they've been doing.
And in the bottom of the South Division, over under Colorado, how many conference wins? Where would you set it at? 2.5?
Yeah, I mean, the thing about Colorado is, I'm not sure they've upgraded at quarterback, but I think as a team, overall, they're better this year. The record might not reflect that because the conference itself is still very tough, and they got a very tough schedule again this year. But I wouldn't be surprised if the quality of play on the field is much better from Colorado. And the Buffs, I think they have a good coaching staff. I think they're turning around the program. It's just going to take time. That's a top 25 team if you can get things humming. Up in Boulder, we've seen it. They've competed for national championships. They've won national championships in the past. They're doing, I think, a pretty good job for where they're at as a program in terms of on the recruiting trail. And that's all going to come together down the road. If John Emery has time, if his coaching staff can stay intact, I think they'll do pretty well.
What's the all right? So we're wrapping it up in the South, moving on to the North. Oregon, they have been right there at the top of the conference, sort of dictating it while USC's been on probation. They're back, and now they've all of a sudden, been displaced right there at the top heading into the season. What a lot of people actually like them to pull one or maybe even both of the potential matchups against USC. What's where would you put them as far as what they need to do to contend for this Pac-12 title?
I mean, Oregon just has to be Oregon. I think it's as simple as that almost. I mean, they've got to keep doing what they've doing. Last year, you could, if you're an Oregon fan, you might want to look at that as an anomaly almost. I mean, they had won 18 or 19 straight, I think, conference games. It was a very long streak since Chip Kelly took over. They had really just kind of run through the conference. They had some scares. There was Cal a couple of years ago. There's the Arizona State game in 09. But for the most part, they have their formula. They stick to it. They've got guys. They keep that high tempo up. It's difficult to sub against on defense. Your guys get tired. It's an entirely different change of pace from what the rest of the conference sees, and they just got to keep doing it. I think it's going to be interesting to see what they do at quarterback and who's going to be the guy. Both guys have stood out. I think that's the one thing that I've got talking to not only Chip Kelly and the staff there and what the guys are saying on the team is, they can win with either guy, whether it be Brian Benner or Marcus Mariota. And I think they're comfortable playing both of them early on. They've got some games to where they can ease into the schedule and make a dent. And, I think it's good to have that depth there. They've got running backs. They've got a lot of people that can be a factor.
Do you think that last season might have played out differently if they don't start the season against LSU?
Well, and it's funny. I was looking at that game in retrospect. I mean, they played DeAnthony Thomas as a freshman, and I think it paid off for them down the road in terms of his development as a runner, as a guy getting used to major Division I football. But at the same time, there's no doubt about it. He kind of cost them that game with his fumbles.
Right.
So it was I'm sure they were still in national title contention, like everybody would think if they had won that LSU game. the bounces went the wrong way for them. They've had some issues when they played the SEC teams with turnovers. If they can get that corrected, I mean, they're a knee, a Jonathan Dwyer knee from, touching the ground away from possibly winning the national title. I mean, this is a solid football team. They've gotten better personnel on defense. I think they rotate a lot of guys along the defensive line. There are some questions, no doubt about it, not only on defense, but, at wide receiver and what they're going to do on the outside there. Kenyon Barner shouldering the entire load now at running back. Not the entire load, but he's the primary guy. So it's going to be interesting to see how he responds. But I think this is still the class of the Pac-12 North, and definitely people always talk about USC, but I think Oregon is right there in terms of contending for the national title out west.
Moving on to number two, we got Stanford moving into the post-Andrew Luck era. Obviously, you still got Stephen Taylor in the backfield. I'm imagining that he will be the focus of the offense, which at times he even was with Andrew Luck under center. I think that's one thing that gets overlooked a lot, and this could be an opportunity for him to really shine.
I was just out at Stanford, and I think the one thing that I took away from what their title contending chances in the North is they got a great front seven. They're going to play some defense. I think there are still a little questions on the secondary, but this is a team that's going to hold on to the ball. They're going to run it. They're not going to change their offense. They ran more last year, even though Andrew Luck was under center. He was obviously a great quarterback. He made some incredible throws. And I don't think they're going to ask their quarterback to do that as much this year. They might actually open up the offense a little bit because they're going to have some chances with the running game that they have. Stephen Taylor is going to set a likely set a record for most rushing yards in all of Stanford history. And so I really think that they're going to see what they can do this year without Andrew Luck and O'Sun, and they're going to be fine. I would be shocked if this is not an 8 or 9 win team. Because they can go toe to toe with just about everybody else in the conference. They're going to struggle against Oregon. I think they don't have the corners to play USC, but they're going to make it closer than I think a lot of people think.
Keith Price started to look really dangerous last year. Washington's offense started to look good. You bring in Justin Wilcox over on the defensive end. Some would say Washington is a year away from really contending. Do you think that they've got a chance to sneak up there and maybe cause some havoc in the North?
I do. I like that team. I like what they have on offense. Offensive line situation is still a little interesting, and I'm curious to see how that will play out. They've had some guys hurt. Some guys have retired because of injuries. That to me is probably the biggest question mark. They have Austin Seferian Jenkins at tight end, some guys with some experience on the outside, and some newer guys. Kaysen Williams impressed as a freshman. He's going to be play a bigger role in the offense this year. Defensively, yeah, they have issues. I mean, we saw that at the bowl game in terms of personnel and what they have, and they lost a lot of guys. They lost some seniors and guys that played a lot of reps, and that can be good and that can be bad. I think if you look at the defensive line, you got guys like Josh Shirley who are going to play a bigger role for them and are going to take on an even greater emphasis. And to me, when I look at them, yeah, they might be deficient a little bit in terms of their personnel and their depth on the defensive side. But Justin Wilcox as a coordinator did wonders for Tennessee in his first couple of years there with, personnel issues. I mean, he's in the SEC. He didn't have the type of defensive tackles that he needed to use, and he still turned in a very solid defense that limited what opponents can do. And yeah, those volunteer teams weren't great the last couple years, but there's no doubt about it that he kept them afloat with what he was doing on the defensive side. You heard offensive coordinators talk about how difficult it was to play him, and I imagine that back in his comfort zone in the Pacific Northwest, he went to Oregon, he knows the conference very well. I would be shocked if they don't improve defensively just having him there and coordinating that defense and having some young guys step up. And no doubt about it, I think they're a team that they might not contend for the title this year, but they're going to make things very interesting, and they could affect the race throughout the conference and where everybody shakes up.
true freshman cornerback Shaq Thompson, how much of an impact do you think he has this season? And I mean, I'm guessing you also project him to be a star eventually, but what can he do for Washington in 2012?
If he, you know, if you're kind of writing things down, I would be shocked if he were not the freshman of the year in the Pac-12 on the defensive side of the ball. He's going to probably start, you know, if not the first game, but very early. He's an impact type player. You know, he's got the size, he's got the speed. He's a guy you just don't want to throw to across the middle with him coming up and running up. He's gonna pop the wide receiver. He's gonna make plays in the running game. Yeah, he's gonna get toasted here and there just being a freshman and learning. But you know, I think he's smart enough. He's one of the best safeties coming out in his recruiting class in the country. And I think Justin Wilcox has a great kid that he can teach and can get in to be a really good football player. And I think by the end of the year, teams aren't going to be throwing near him. They're going to be going away from him. And I think he's going to help that defense pretty well.
Okay, so he's going to be playing safety. Okay, I had that
yes.
wrong. All right, moving on to California. Jeff Tedford once again brings back, you know, he's always been an offensive guy, but it seems to be where there's individual talent along there. They still haven't been able to be one of the best offenses in the Pac-12. Defensively, what are you seeing out of them? And can they be a contender? Where would you put them on the contender meter?
You know, it's funny. I mean, and I was, you know, right out at Berkeley as well last week and seeing what they had as a team. And, you know, they're better personnel-wise than they were a year ago, I think. I think, you know, you look at the wide receiver position, they've got an All-American in Keenan Allen there. They're going to have some younger guys, you know, really three freshmen could probably be in that mix for that number two spot and the number three spot. But it's going to be interesting to see how it shakes out. I think they're pretty solid on the offensive line. They're still moving some guys around and seeing who fits where. But for the most part, I think they'll be pretty solid offensively. If they can get anything out of Zach Maynard, I mean, really anything, they can sneak up on a lot of people. I think they're a better team on the field. The record might not reflect that. I still think they're going to be up and down and up and down. Now, maybe they get a boost from playing in the renovated Memorial Stadium this year. They got a great running game and Easy Sofelli being the main guy. You know, they really have three or four running backs that can come in and play pretty well for them. And defensively, I think they do. That's kind of their weakness is defensively. Questions at linebackers, they're really thin at the defensive line. I think they're thinner than USC or any other team in the conference just because of injuries, just because of guys. Now, they do have some defensive tackles that could be possibly high draft picks down the road, but they got to get them healthy. They got to get them out on the field. They should be okay, I guess, defensively, but they're going to need the offense to be very consistent, get some play out of their quarterback, and if they do that, they'll be just fine.
Cooking on down the stretch, we got Mike Leach's return to coaching at Washington State. Obviously, CBSSports.com preseason All-American Marcus Wilson. You've got Jeff Toole there. You've got also, you know, a program that sort of needs a new face. Washington State has sort of wavered a little bit. They've had some off-field issues in recent years. Do you think that Leach will be someone that can establish that new – I mean, it seems like he's been on the PR trail, just sort of going out and being very sociable, making a lot of appearances. And do you think that he will be able to turn around the direction that program was headed?
Absolutely. He's a winner. You know, you saw that at places that he went. He did a good job at Kentucky when he was offensive coordinator, even though they weren't a great team. You know, they surprised some people. And then what he did at Texas Tech, I mean, every year he was there, they were going to a bowl game. He graduated players. He's an interesting guy. He brings people in that might not be Washington State fans, but they want to tune in for Mike Leach. And he's certainly a character. He's got a great offense. Everybody says, you know, people are going to come to the Palouse just to play for him. You know, that's how much of a draw he is as an offensive guy, and he's got some great weapons. His quarterback, Jeff Toole, if he can stay healthy, it is one of the best in the conference. He's got Marcus Wilson, like you were saying, All-American candidate. questions on the offensive and defensive lines for sure. But I think just having him around, having those coaches up there that know this conference pretty well, they'll be an improved product on the field. And they were trending that way last year, that they did lose some close games that they, you know, I mean, they came close to being bowl eligible last year and probably should have beaten a UCLA late. Couple other games that they had in their grasp and kind of let it go in the second half. You know, this is a team that I think has enough pieces to get to a bowl and get to that 6-6 record. And you know, we'll see. I think it'd be very impressive if he can come in there after they've been so far down in this conference and to take them to a bowl. That would be very impressive for Mike Leach. He's got some pieces that he can do that. And I wouldn't be shocked if he does that in the end.
And rounding out the Pac-12, man, it's Oregon State. There were so many great Oregon State battles here. The Civil War was just rocking for, I guess, you know, almost, I guess, the last half decade. It sort of felt that way, and they're just worlds apart at this point. What does Oregon State have to look forward to moving forward?
You know, this is it's interesting. People always rag on Mike Riley the last year or two in terms of what the team has had, and I look at them and I think you're crazy. I mean, how many times have you been to Corvallis and seen what they have to work with versus what's right down the road, which, you know, 20 minutes away or 30 minutes away in Eugene, and you say that's like night and day, and he's managed to win games. You know, he's managed to take them. Right within a win of the Rose Bowl at the end of the season. And that wasn't too long ago that Oregon State was there. They've got some good pieces. I think they're going to be a lot better on the field than people think. You know, that's the one thing that I see when I look at Oregon State. They've got some players. You know, I think, on the defensive side of the ball, they're still quite a little bit too young, I think, from what they want. They do have some players that they like. Scott Crittenton, the defensive end, I think he can, he was a guy that really surprised a lot of people last year as a redshirt freshman. Had a bunch of tackles, a bunch of sacks, and really was able to get into the backfield. So if he can take another step in his game, if you can have other guys like Jordan Poyer, who's a nice cornerback, a lot of people think he could be drafted pretty highly, in the second or third round by the NFL. He was a second team All Pac-12 guy. They've got talented guys there, and I think that's the one thing to keep in mind about Oregon State is they've got guys, and it's not like they're just a talent deficient team like Washington State was for a lot of years under their previous coach. But for the most part, I think they'll be pretty good. I mean, Sean Mannion, he set a host of records when he kind of came in, threw for a bunch of yards. I think it was over 3,000 yards. He's got some pieces on offense as well, that some speed guys, they can mix some things up. And, again, they're going to be another team in the Pac-12, better on the field, maybe slightly better on their record than they were last year, but it's not going to be a huge jump. I still think when you look at what Mike Riley has done for that program, and really he is Oregon State football, they got to give him another year. They got to, at least see the progress this year. If there's not progress, then yeah, he's on the hot seat. But I think with what they have in terms of their talent, especially on offense with Mannion and the quarterback, I think they can do pretty decent this year.
Well, it's tough because, they have players, they seem to be, they've got a lot of competition, but man, if they keep ending up right there in the bottom of the division, it's going to be tough. I think it's going to be very tough for that, administration to justify over time. If they keep stringing together these seasons of winding up there, Mike Riley would definitely end up on another coaching staff, though, don't you think?
Oh, definitely. I mean, yeah, he's a guy that could go. I mean, I don't know if there's any nicer coach in college football than Mike Riley. He's a great guy. I actually wouldn't be surprised if he would retire. He's got a little place in the Hill Country in Texas. He always talks about it very glowingly and spends his summers there. I wouldn't be shocked if he were to take a year or two off. Maybe he goes into the broadcasting game. I think he'd be great about that if you're talking about breaking down stuff for the Pac-12 Network or be it. But he's just a great guy, knows how to coach very well. He can find a landing spot anywhere he wants, I would think, in the college game or the NFL. NFL. He's that nice of a guy. And, you know, I still think Oregon State would be wise to kind of make sure that he's taken care of, that he's got the program, he's getting the kids that he wants. Yeah, they hit a rough spot. I mean, college football goes in cycles, and that was their rough spot. And I think he's still the right guy that can come in there and get them turned around.
All right, I'm going to send you out of here on this. Give the listeners one storyline that's maybe, you know, not on the front page, a little below the radar, something about the Pac-12 that you're really looking forward to seeing in covering the conference.
Just kind of how it plays out. I mean, I think for a lot of people, you know, everybody's going to see USC and Oregon and what they're going to do this year. But for me, I really look at the middle of the pack in the Pac-12 and seeing like teams like Stanford and Washington and UCLA and Utah and how good they can be this year. Because I think, you know, you look at what the SEC has, and obviously they are fantastic at the top. I think they're a little weaker in the middle section, and that's where the big Pac-12 is a little stronger than in past years. And maybe it's not as strong as they were last year in terms of having three legitimate top six teams with USC, Oregon, and Stanford. They're probably only going to have two this year, but they could end up with four or five top 25 teams, which is more than they've had in a long time. I really think that there's depth at this conference. It's going to be a nightmare for defensive coordinators, I think. I mean, it's there's high octane offenses, but there are different subtleties in each one that you have to prepare for, and that's what's going to make it different from past years. I mean, there's no doubt about it. There's some cachet to this league. It's going to be much more exciting, and I'm just interested to see how it all plays out.
He is Brian Fisher. You can follow him on Twitter at Brian D. Fisher, national college football and recruiting writer. I appreciate you taking the time. And by the way, listeners, Brian's technically on vacation right now, and he took a vacation day to come and spend some time previewing the Pac-12. So thank you for that, Brian. And I will let you off the hook and let you go enjoy your vacation.
Absolutely, anytime.
If you want any of the CBSSports.com college football podcasts, they are all available for free on iTunes. All you got to do is go there. You can download them individually or subscribe, and we'll deliver a new one to you. Coming up the rest of the week, we've got a Dodcast and the Big Ten preview, so you'll get your Pac-12. We'll get their Rose Bowl partners later in the week. For Brian Fisher, I'm Chip Patterson. Thanks for tuning in.